Grace to and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Jesus says in our gospel lesson today from the Sermon on the Mount, "When you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you. When you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites. When you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites." Jesus preaches about giving, about praying, and about fasting. And it's no coincidence that these three things, spoken by Jesus in the gospel lesson for Ash Wednesday, are the three traditional disciplines that Christians take up more fervently during the season of Lent, which we begin today. Over the next 6.5 weeks, Christians all around the world, as they have throughout history, will give extra attention to being charitable toward the poor and needy, to more frequent prayer, whether alone or corporately as congregations, and restraint, both abstaining and fasting from certain foods and pastimes. But of course, these exercises aren't just meant to be Lenten. Christians should always be charitable, giving to support their church and to help the poor. Christians should always be fervent in prayer and the study of God's word. And Christians should always discipline their bodies and keep them under control, as we heard the Apostle Paul write recently. For Jesus does not say in our gospel lesson today, if you pray, if you give, if you fast, but when you do these things. Our Lord Jesus simply assumes that his Christians will do them. For in these three exercises, we have a wonderful summary of all good works that we are called to do. For when we give to the needy, we are loving our neighbor and doing good unto him. When we pray, we are demonstrating our faith in God, obeying his command and trusting his promise. When we fast, we mortify our flesh. Yes, these three things of which Jesus speaks today entail all with whom our good works are concerned: love for the neighbor, faith toward God, and denial of the self, of the flesh. And that's why our Lord commends these works to us today. But there is no good thing that the devil, the world, and even your own sinful flesh will not try to corrupt. Good works are indeed good. These works Jesus speaks of are good. But they become sin to us when they are misused. That is, when good works are not done in faith toward God, nor in fervent love toward the neighbor, not to deny the self, but rather to love the self. And this happens when one desires to be seen by others, to be praised by others, because of the good works that one does. Jesus calls these kinds of people hypocrites. The hypocrites sound the trumpet in the synagogues and in the streets when they give to the poor and needy. The hypocrites love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners. The hypocrites disfigure their faces and look gloomy while they're fasting. Outwardly, hypocrites do the work that God commands of them, but Jesus tells us that they are empty works, because these works are not done out of faith nor love for God or the neighbor, but only for the self. Now, the word hypocrite comes from the Greek language, which we have in the New Testament. And literally, it means a stage actor, one who wears a mask or who covers his face. Now, today, in our usage of the word hypocrite, it means somebody who's fake, who says one thing but does another, which makes sense given that ancient actors would wear masks on stage to hide their true identities as they played whatever role they were given. But when Jesus uses the word today, he doesn't necessarily rebuke those who would talk the talk but not walk the walk. Instead, he is rebuking those who talk and walk, but only to be seen and praised by other people. He is rebuking those who would make themselves actors in the theater of religion, who would outwardly portray themselves thinking thoughts that they don't actually think, and speaking words and prayers that they don't actually believe. just like actors on stage playing a role. To them, Jesus speaks a terrible truth. They have their reward. And they do, yes. They have the praise and approval, both of the self and of other people, that they crave. But that's the only reward that they will receive. Earthly honor is the only thing they get for these deeds. And we all know how fleeting that is. And so Jesus begins our gospel lesson today with the word, beware, be on guard, take heed. Jesus wants us to beware against such hypocrisy. And this is a good warning for us all in this season of Lent, for this is a very real temptation for us all, that as we take up the renewed disciplines of this season, our good works would become an avenue by which we would gain the praise of men. Or worse yet, try to earn our salvation from God. Truly, we must beware of practicing our righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them. And as we examine ourselves this day, in dust and ashes, we have ample cause to repent of our misuse of good works, not to serve others, not in faith toward God, but in service and even in faith towards the self. Nevertheless, Christ does not forbid good works. He doesn't even forbid doing good works in public. In fact, he says, just in the previous chapter of Matthew, just earlier in the Sermon on the Mount, let your light shine before others that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. And so you see what our Lord condemns here is doing good works for the purpose of being seen by other people, that you would receive the glory, not your heavenly Father. And yet, despite how these works may be abused, good works remain good. Giving is good. Praying is good. Fasting is good. But they are only good when they give glory to our Father in heaven. That is to say, only when they proceed from faith. For the scriptures say, without faith it is impossible to please God. For whoever would draw near to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. This is the faith from which good works follow. This is the faith that bears good works such as giving, praying, and fasting as fruit. Faith, not just that God exists in some generic way. Yes, we believe he does. But more than that, we believe that the God who exists is the God who has testified of himself in Holy Scripture. The God who is gracious and merciful. The God who is slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. The God who exists is the God who became jealous for his land and had pity on his people. And so we believe that God the Father, in his boundless grace and mercy, sent his only begotten Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, to atone for our sins and iniquities. He was delivered over to the Gentiles and was mocked and shamefully treated and spit upon, just as we heard on Sunday. He was flogged and killed. And all this he did for us men and for our salvation. Not because we had earned God's mercy or deserved it by our works. No one gave enough, no one prayed enough, no one fasted enough. But God, by his grace alone, did this for us. For us, he won forgiveness, life, and salvation, not with gold or silver, but with his holy, precious blood and with his innocent suffering and death. He, by his grace alone, has made us his own people. Now we live under him in his kingdom and serve him in everlasting righteousness, innocence, his blessedness, just as he is risen from the dead, living and reigning to all eternity. We repent in dust and ashes, yes, for our many sins. But those ashes are in the sign of the cross. For our faith is in the crucified Lord Jesus, who bore our sins, who has atoned for our iniquities, who has washed us and made us clean in his blood, who has given us good hearts from which good works might follow. And so even as we believe that God exists as the gracious and merciful Lord, which he himself has told us, we also believe, according to the scriptures, that God rewards those who seek him. Yes, even we Lutherans believe that God rewards us. The Bible teaches it. Jesus says several times in the gospel lesson we heard that the Father who sees in secret will reward his Christians who do good works. And to be sure, justification and eternal life is granted as a free gift given to us for Jesus' sake, received by faith alone, apart from any works or merits of ours. Nevertheless, again, as the Bible itself teaches, good works done in faith toward Christ as our mediator will merit bodily and spiritual rewards. And the spiritual rewards for these works are, Jesus says, treasures in heaven. Treasures that far surpass any treasures that can be found on earth. In earthly treasures, the outcome is often uncertain, and the reward often doesn't correspond to your effort. And even when earthly rewards are received, they are often temporary and transitory. The treasures of earth are even corruptible under the effects of moth and rust and thieves. And even if one were to keep all earthly rewards safe from these moths and rusts and thieves, they cannot provide lasting happiness. They breed anxiety and concern. But in heavenly matters, we have the sure promise of God about eternal heavenly treasures. God cannot lie. And so the outcome of our heavenly treasures is certain. They are unfailing. They neither rust, nor are they destroyed, and they are never stolen away. They are permanent, and they provide joy to those who possess them forevermore. We need never worry about heavenly treasures, because they have been won for us by Jesus and given to us by grace. And so, looking forward to our rewards, our treasures in heaven, our heart being there, we can lay aside all earthly treasures if need be. Certainly someday they will be when we die. But if need be, we can do so before that, willingly, if God wills it. For those who suffer for Christ's sake, for those who lose something for him, they are given a great reward. Yes, even as we give only what we have first received, we gain for ourselves a reward in heaven, which God will repay at the resurrection of the righteous on the last day. The season of Lent, then, and Ash Wednesday in particular, serves as an opportunity for us Christians to reorient ourselves, our lives, our desires, our hearts toward our true heavenly home and our true eternal reward. And so that's why we begin the season today in repentance, pleading even under dust and ashes, "Spare your people, O Lord. Do not make us a reproach. Have pity on us, O Lord." And even as we plead to God, acknowledging our sins and wretchedness, we do so with all boldness and confidence, because our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He is our God, and we are his people. He is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. He has made us his own people in the blood of his Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God who has taken away our sins and the sins of the whole world. For his sake, God has declared, and he will not change his mind, "I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more." And so even as we repent each day, we are forgiven each day. We live each day as God's children. In this season of Lent and every day, we live lives of good works as God has prepared for us to do beforehand, not because we are saved by those works, but rather because by grace we have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. It's by grace through faith alone, therefore, we give, because our true treasure is in heaven above, imperishable, undefiled, and unfading. By grace through faith alone, therefore, we pray, because our help is in the name of the Lord, who has promised to hear our prayers and answer them according to his good and gracious will. By grace through faith alone, therefore, we fast, because we know that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. God has given us these good works to do, and we do them, not to be seen, nor to be praised by men, and certainly not to earn salvation from God. But rather we do them because God is worthy of all glory and honor and praise. He has justified us for Jesus' sake alone. We are reborn through the waters of holy baptism. We have been given the gift of the Holy Spirit. We are declared to be righteous saints in the eyes of God. And as such we do good works. And your Father, who has justified you by grace alone, through faith alone, in Jesus Christ alone, he sees those good works, and he will reward you. Jesus concludes our gospel lesson today with a reminder, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Your treasure is Jesus, and your heart is with him, here in time and there in eternity. Through faith alone, for Jesus' sake, your heart will never be separated from Christ. For he will protect and preserve you in that one true faith unto life everlasting. And therefore, remember that your true treasures are with Jesus, laid up for you in heaven, where you have been richly provided an entrance into that eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In his holy name, please stand. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.